All right. Well,
Mitch just came on, Elder.
Okay, very good. I will get him on. And
apologize for the delay.
Okay. All right, Brother Sayers, you should be good to go. Okay, we've missed you, sir. I trust you had a good trip. Back in Munich, correct? Okay, very good. Very good. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on what part of the world that you are currently watching or listening as I speak. This is Zoom study number 13 for 2024. Today's session is part three of our series, Leadership Strategy, Leadership Strategies. Today, we're going to talk about three things that I've titled Vision, Function, and Structure. Vision, Function, and Structure. You know, as leaders, we need to be very strategic and very intentional, especially in our decision making. As you've heard me say, the decisions we make as leaders are so critical because people follow our example. We need to live a life that is worthy to be imitated. Our sincere prayer is that these studies will help us all be the leader God has called us to be. If this is your first time to join our study, either live or by recording, please know we're honored and humbled that you've chosen to take the time to join the study today, either live or by recording. As I say each week, I don't take your presence on these studies for granted. If there's anyone that you feel would benefit from these studies, please feel free to forward the Zoom link to them. And as I say each week, and we will continue to say, please continue to pray for everyone who live under this constant pressure from the war in Ukraine. Pray for the leaders who are making decisions that affect the lives of so many people. And let's continue to pray for the protective covering over all the churches, along with their pastors, the leaders. And I say that because as the church, they still have the responsibility to reach as many people with the gospel of Jesus Christ as we possibly can. And I say that to all of us, regardless of the crisis we may be under, the situation, the circumstance we may be under. And I appreciate our pastors in Ukraine, our brothers and sisters there who have continued to reach out and are seeing a great harvest of people. And in the midst of a situation that most of us would have just escaped or been hiding. So we commend all of you, even those of you on this call today who live under the pressure of this war every single day. And we genuinely pray for you, concerned, and continually pray for your safety. But again, that God will just give you the grace to be the church that you're called to be. In Jesus' name. Pastor Donahue, I'm going to ask you if you would unmute, and would you pray over our study today, and certainly pray for our brothers and sisters around the world, and especially those in Ukraine and those being affected by this war.
Yes, sir. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, first, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your love and kindness. I pray today for our brothers and sisters who are affected today by this senseless war. And I pray that you would continue to guide them and protect them. Give them wisdom. Let them Let them capture the godly effects of what you're trying to accomplish, God. Let them multiply in this season. I praise you and thank you for that.
Yes.
Thank you for this Bible study. Thank you for Bishop. Thank you, Lord. Talent alone is not good enough, but we need disciplined vision. We need correction. We need a path of righteousness, Lord. Let us be led of you today. I continue to thank you for these lessons, God, and instructions in righteousness, oh God. And Lord, let there be followers. Let there be followers of your people, Lord, leading them to a plan, God, that you have for them. We thank you for everyone on this call. I pray strength and blessing upon them, oh God. Let us learn to follow after you. We give you honor and glory, and we give you praise in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Again, we're going to talk today about vision, function, and structure. You know, one of the primary reasons that we invest the time to go to training sessions or be on training sessions like this is to grow and to get answers. The following, I want to just say a few things, the questions, give a few questions that we all have asked and may still be asking as we search for God's will, both individually and as a collective church body. I know one of the questions that I ask continually is, how can we better and be more spiritually sensitive to the will of God? I want spiritual sensitivity. Anybody in here wants spiritual sensitivity? I want to be able to have that sensitivity to the leadership of the Holy Ghost. How can we be more effective at connecting and discipling people to Jesus? We've got to remember that regardless of our situation, first and foremost, that's got to be our passion and our desire. How can I better, or how can we better be equipped to fulfill our God-given purpose in the body of Christ? What more can I do? What else can I learn? What book can I read? What can I get a hold of that can help equip us so that we can fulfill our God-given purpose? But remember, it's within the context of His body, His collective body. We don't do anything just individually. If we are not connected, if whatever gifts we have from God are not being utilized within the collective body, we're missing it. No one is called to be an island by ourselves. And that's the same true as a local church. No local church is just called to be an independent, isolated local church. You are unique and you're connected to nobody. You're just all by yourself. I want to tell you, that's not God. It's not God's will. And then here's a question. Is it realistic to expect God to use us? Do I have a right to even expect God to work through me, to use my voice, to use my hands? Sunday, as I preached in Canton, Lord took me back memory lane, and I just began to list the miracles. Not that I had read from scripture, but that I have personally witnessed over the years. And in just a short time, I listed 19 just like that. And then I said, you know, I've got probably 250, at least maybe close to 300 of my little notebooks, you see, my little notebooks that I write in. And if I started going through those, started reading the journals, I could probably have quadrupled that number in a heartbeat. I'm not saying that to put attention on me personally or what we've personally witnessed or seen, but I want to tell you, we've got to remember that God is going to do what we cannot do. He is a miraculous working God. And I say that to say he doesn't do it without his church. I hope at the end of this study, if you've seen anything, you've realized how important it is to be connected to the body of Christ and to allow God's gifts to work through us. Amen. Amen. So the last question I will just present is that if God really does desire to use us individually as well as collectively, then where do I best fit in the body? Where do I best fit? What gifts do I have, do you have, that best serve the body of Christ? See, getting answers to these questions, however, is not enough. What we do with the answers once we get them, that's the question. Knowing what to do is not enough. Are we doing what we know to do? Experience has taught that answers that really make a difference and bring positive change will require four things. Four things. Number one, which may seem extremely obvious, we've got to ask the right questions. Sometimes we don't get the right answers because we're not asking the right questions. And to ask the right questions, we've got to be willing to be honest and to really want the correct answer. Have you ever been talking to somebody and they keep avoiding the elephant in the room? They keep avoiding what the real situation is, and they will ask questions that have nothing to do. Have you ever been teaching or preaching or teaching a home Bible study or teaching a life group or something, and somebody in the group invariably will ask a question that has absolutely nothing to do with what you're talking about, what you're teaching? And if I can be just blunt about it, sometimes I really believe, you know, the enemy loves to use good people as well as bad people. In fact, he'd rather use good people. And sometimes I believe that sometimes if he can use somebody to just get us off track, just get us going in another direction to avoid what really needs to be discussed. So we got to ask the right questions. Number two, there must be a willingness to accept the answer once it's been confirmed to be correct. You know, sometimes people don't want to ask the right questions because they don't want the answer. They don't want to know what really they need to know. Third thing, there must be a willingness to make the changes that are necessary once truth is realized. Once we get answers, then are we willing to change? Are we willing to hear what the Lord may be saying to us and do it, regardless if it's something we want to do or not? And then the fourth thing is, again, another obvious, there must be change. I promise you, there is rarely, if ever, anything that God directs us to do that will not require some level of change. I realize this generation doesn't like the word change, and neither does my generation. The older we get, the less we like to think about change. Well, then how about if we all just are willing to get into the 21st century and let's just call it updates. Are you willing to make some updates? You got a mobile phone? Have you ever had to update it? You got a computer? Have you ever had to update it? You ever notice your computer is lagging or something's going wrong and you don't need a new computer. You just need updated. I realize some of us like to use those excuses to buy new ones. I get that, but it's amazing what a simple update will do. You know, it's amazing what just hitting the default button will do. Just shut the thing down and restart it. It's amazing what that will do. Well, it's amazing what a relaunch may do in your prayer life. A relaunch may do in your study time. Just a fresh restart. It's amazing how God will use that in our lives. But it will require some change. Now, correct answers only leave people frustrated if they are unwilling to make the changes that are necessary. I'm not asking for hands, but how many of you have heard an answer that you didn't want to hear and it just flat out made you mad and you just got frustrated? You had to go to your prayer closet before you could get your attitude right. Sometimes we don't want the truth because it bumps up against what our flesh likes or doesn't like. God deliver us from the fear of change. Now remember, as I was going through this morning, there's another thought that came to me and I filled it in. We just don't need to be delivered from the fear of change. We need delivered from our stubbornness and our resistance to change. Did I really just say that? I said this recently in a seminar I was teaching, and I think I shared it with you, but we got some young people on the study today, and I have a little thing I say to them. I said, you know, the problem with being young is that you don't know you're dumb. And just like some of you are laughing right now, we had a bunch of elders in that seminar that was just rearing back laughing. They loved it. And then I looked over at those elders and I said, yeah, but the problem with being old is that you don't know you're stuck. And it kind of took the smile off their faces. And then the young people started laughing. So it's one thing to be dumb, but it's another thing to just be stuck. Remember the elder brother T.F. Tenney said one time, he said, some people think they're deep when the truth is they're just stuck. God help us deliver us from the stubbornness and the resistance in our own spirit to change. God, help us to willingly make whatever changes are necessary to align ourselves with the will of God. Now, let's talk about vision, function, and structure more directly. Pardon me. To effectively follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit and go where we have never been before, it will require unity centered around a central vision. You may want to write this down. It'll be in your notes if you get them. Vision without function is nothing more than a dream. And if that vision becomes unfulfilled, it can turn into a nightmare, especially as you get older. No matter how grand your vision may be, it must have a correct structure to work through if it's going to be effective. The purpose of structure is to facilitate the body's function and purpose. Remember this, structure doesn't change. It only enlarges. What you and I were structurally out of our mother's womb is exactly what we are today. It only enlarged. So I want to say it again. The purpose of structure is to facilitate the body's function and purpose. Purpose is the very reason something exists. Now, let's look at the body here just for a moment, the church. The church is not an organization. We may be organized, but the church is not an organization. It's an organism. It's alive. It's living, it's breathing, it's not a building. It's a body. The Bible describes the church as a body made up of many members, all those members being codependent upon each other. Think of it in terms of your body and all the different parts that make up the body. All of those parts become codependent to the others. Cut them off, stick them in a bottle of formaldehyde, set them on a mantle. They may not decay, but they're not alive. And they'll have no function. Why? Because they're disconnected from the blood flow. If something's going to stay alive, it must be connected to the blood, and the blood flows through the body. When you were baptized in Jesus' name, the blood of Jesus Christ was applied to your body, to you. And to use a spiritual term, the blood is still efficacious. It still gets the job done. That's what's so powerful about repentance. I heard recently someone teaching about how that we probably, if we feel bad about mistakes we made after we've been baptized in Jesus' name, we probably should be rebaptized. I don't agree with that doctrine. It disqualifies the blood's efficaciousness. Is that a word? It disqualifies the blood's continual flowing in us. But again, talking about just as God used body parts to structure the human body, he uses gifts to structure the spiritual body. And those gifts all need to be codependent with each other. I want to tell you, whatever gift God has given you, if you're not connected to a local body, if you're not connected to the church where that gift is allowed to function and flow, something's wrong. You see, to understand how God ordained the church to function, Paul used the natural body to describe the spiritual body. Sister Lisa, would you read for me, please, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14.
You want that in King James or New King James?
I have the New King James, but I'm good with whatever.
Okay. 12 through 14?
Yes, ma'am.
For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many.
Everybody see that? Now, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, Sister Lisa.
Now you are the body of Christ and members individually.
Members individually. Members individually. We're made up of the body. We're part of the body, but we are still individual members. Now, let's look at some things concerning the body as it relates to the church. Correct structure enables the body to function as God designed. Good health provides strength and life to the body's structure. As you've heard me say, leadership is God's means to help direct the body's forward progress. That's where leaders come in such a powerful way. God uses leaders to help direct the body's forward progress. I told somebody the other day, listen, if you're going to fall, fall forward. Amen. Regardless of how intelligent or how gifted a person is, their ability to function is both governed and limited by their structure. Does everybody see that? Hear that? We'll talk about that in just a moment. The health of the body is far more limiting to the body's function than the size of the body. I've encouraged people for many years now, don't pray for church growth. Pray for church health. Healthy bodies grow. Healthy churches grow. No matter how strong, healthy, or potentially able a body is, three things cause its greatest limitations. Number one, vision. You see, vision is the ability to see correctly. And when our vision is limited, we'll never attempt to go beyond what we can see. And when we understand When we talk about seeing when it comes to the body of Christ, where there is no vision, where there is no understanding, where there is no comprehension, the people perish. Understanding leads us. But vision enables the body to see correctly. Number two, understanding enables the body to think correctly. How many realize that we just need to adjust our stinking thinking? Sometimes it's our thinking and how we understand. It limits us. It greatly limits us. Structure is the third thing. Structure is the ability to function or act correctly. Now, let me say it in another way. Spiritual vision is our ability to understand what is possible. Spiritual understanding is our ability to reason, to plan, to make decisions. What we see is possible. Hear this. What we see or understand is possible will govern both our actions and our response. Sometimes we know what we need to do. We're just slow to respond. And unfortunately, miss the window. You know, you're looking in a screen right now. Everybody sees my hands. Okay? We'll go over here to the edge of the screen. Okay? Go to the, I'm looking backwards. Okay, so here's the edge of the screen. And we have some time usually to act. We're still, now we're right in the heart of it. We're right in the middle. Still have some time. But now we're getting close to the edge, to the point that we miss our window. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I get it that we want to be careful and make sure what we're doing is God. But you need to understand there's a difference in just patiently waiting to know if it's God or it's our own selves, fear, resistance, whatever it may be, that's hindering us from responding within the window that God has given us. We will never act or react outside of the limits of our understanding. It's the reason God told us that in all thy getting, get understanding. Consider this. Put a scalpel. Let me see if I can pull out of my drawer. That look like a scalpel? More like a, it's a letter opener, but put a scalpel in the hands of a skilled surgeon and he can do amazing good. Put that same scalpel in the hands of someone that is mentally challenged. And you've got a disaster waiting to happen. Put that same scalpel in the hands of a skilled surgeon who has just become paralyzed from the neck down. No matter how much ability he has, his function is limited by his body's structure that is not able now to work. He's got the desire. He's got the want to. He's got the ability. He's got the training. He's got the skill. The problem is his structure has become limited. And structure will hinder function every time if it's not correct. You see, desire won't help if the structure is disabled or faulty. Put the same scalpel into the hands of a skilled surgeon with a healthy body who has lost his sight. What can he do? Can't see properly. So vision, function, and structure are inseparable if the body and the church is going to accomplish its God-given designed purpose. Do you understand that? Vision, function, and structure are inseparable if the body, the church, is going to accomplish its God-given purpose. You can't achieve your design one body part can't achieve its design purpose without the other. Think about that. Let any part of your body become disabled, or you become dismembered. It's amazing how it can affect the entire body. Yes, you may live, but living and functioning to the potential that God gave you is two different things. The body's ability to achieve its God-given purpose is dependent upon all three, vision, structure, function, all working together in unity with each other, submitting itself to facilitate the success of the other. This is a powerful revelation that the church must get in these last days. Now, I realize those of you that are outside of the United States may not know who I'm about to mention. Those of us in America who grew up following baseball and playing baseball, you will recognize this. We all knew of Bo Jackson. He was a physical phenom. He was an athlete extraordinary, probably a once in a generation type of athlete. He played both professional baseball and professional football at the same time. And he was just amazing. But in professional football, much like the international sport of rugby, it's a very violent sport. And he took a hit to his hip. And it so injured his hip that the hip would not recover and began to degenerate. So the orthopedic specialists of that day said they believed they could build, Mr. Jackson, a bionic hip, an artificial hip that would enable him. He wouldn't be able to play football, but he would, according to the specialists, they thought he would be able to continue to play baseball. And so he did come recover from his injury. They did the surgery. I remember being at my mom and dad's home. and my stepdad had the baseball game on, and it was Bo Jackson's first game back after his injury. And he was so powerful in his upper body, and he was so strong. And those of you that know anything about baseball, you know that hitting, really to have a, to be a good hitter in baseball, it's speed and driving with your hips, more than it is actual physical body strength. And, but because his hips were limited, he was unable to, continue to play baseball. I remember watching him. He got up to bat, his first at bat. He hit the ball. He just swung with his upper body. He hit the ball, made a right through second base and into center field. And it was so sad though, watching this guy who could run like a leper. Now he's just limping down to first base. He only played one or two games after that until he realized that he was not able to continue even to play baseball. Now think about this. He was still young. He was still in his 20s. He was still exceptionally strong. He had almost, as it were, superhuman ability. Some thought he was almost superhuman. Of course, we know he wasn't. But he had this phenomenal ability. Now get this. He still had the desire. You know, if you've ever been an athlete and you've ever got injured, you couldn't wait to get healed and to get back and prove that you could still play the way you played before. He still had that desire. But he had one problem. Just one problem. Just one. His body structurally was in place. All except one small body part. Just one. Just one. And that one part, it was man-made. It wasn't God-made the way God first made him. And that man-made human body part limited the entire forward progress and function of his body. No matter how much he wanted to play, no matter how much desire he wanted, hear me please. You can go to conference after conference and meeting after meeting and service after service, and you can have all the desire you want to have. And you can think you can do everything you want to do. But if you are not structurally the way God designed it, if your local church is man-made and not God-made, man-structured and not God-structured, we got this program and we got that program and we got this was tried here and this was done here and I'm not criticizing anything, but we, my brothers and sisters, I fear we've almost taken God out of his church. We've put limits on him like Israel limited the Holy One of Israel. God help us not to limit the church because we fill it up with so much stuff that God did not design. And we're not structured to flow as God would have us flow. Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2 through 5. I had to pull back because I was getting in a preaching mood right there. And you know, when preachers start preaching, then you got to take up an offering after that. So where two or three are gathered together, take up an offering, right? Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. Sister Lisa, would you read for me? Philippians 2, verses 2 through 5.
Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus.
Did you see that? Let's just continue reading. Go ahead. Verse 6 through 8, Sister Lisa. Watch this.
Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross.
Now, think about this. You Bible scholars, Jesus knew his divine position. He was God walking in a body. He was truly man, but he was truly God. And yet, he humbled himself. He became submitted to his own creation and limited what he did based on God's plan, God's purpose, and he knew his place as the man in that plan. He humbled himself. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. He willingly became obedient even unto death. His human will had to be submitted and in complete oneness and unity with the eternal purpose of God. Jesus became our example of true humility and submission. Do you see that? Do we understand that? So as we bring this session to a close, let's do a summary here. Vision is the understanding of what is possible and comes from our head, whose name is Jesus, whose eyes, my brother and sister, are you looking through, yours or his? As I have said so many times, unfortunately, most of the time, we look through our own wounds. We look through our own weakness. We look through our own limitations. And we base what we are willing to do because of how we see ourselves. God in his omniscient gives us spiritual vision. He loves us that much to let us see how he sees so we can know what's possible. Function, it's the ability of the body and what the body is gifted by God to do. How many of you don't have to raise your hand, but you know this. There are gifts that God has placed in you and that every time they function through you and flow through you, you just sit back in total amazement because you knew if it was not God, there's no way you could do what you do. Thank God that he has put function in his body. He has given gifts, but not only given gifts, but he's given the ability for those gifts to function. And then structure. Structure is the order or the arrangement of the body that enables the function and the forward progress of the body, the church. He enables us. He structured us. How many recognize we could not do what we do if it weren't for others that's connected to us? We couldn't be who we are in Christ if it weren't for others connected to us, pouring into us, enabling us to know, to be, to understand what we could not otherwise. Sister Lisa, let's go to Ephesians 4, verse 15. Read verse 15 and 16.
What then was the blessing you enjoyed?
Excuse me. Sorry. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16.
There we go. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supply, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love.
You see that? You see that? From whom the whole body joined and knit together. Not islands to ourselves, together. By what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. What happens then? It causes growth of the body to be built up, to be strengthened, to be edified. Of itself in love. Each member, each gift, each part of the body must work in unity to enable and empower the other parts of the body. So together, the entire body will achieve a single vision and purpose. Again, the church is a living, breathing organism equipped with a uniquely designed structure, vision, and function with a purpose and a reason for existence. What do we hear the word of God say? We have been fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible clearly teaches us that the head is not complete without the body. The church must be organized and structured correctly to fulfill its God-given purpose. Let's read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Watch this. Sister Lisa.
And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
And he, Jesus, put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things, the church. Watch this, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word fullness there literally means the completeness of him. This has blown me away for years. How that God does not even see himself complete without his church. Hey. Remember when the apostle Paul, who at that time was Saul of Tarsus, remember when he was knocked down off of what he was writing, fell to the ground, great light blinded him. He knew, being a good Jew, that there was only one source of light like that. It had to be God. And he hit the ground and he said, Who art thou, Lord? That was Paul's response. Who art thou, Lord? What did the Lord say? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Wait a minute. Saul of Tarsus was persecuting the church, the body. But Jesus said, I am Lord, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Jesus understood, persecute the body, you're persecuting him. He doesn't see himself complete without us. According to the Bible, Jesus submitted his own function to the limitations of his body, the church. Then he said, there is no limitations if we will align our thinking with his and not limit or restrict his power from working through us. Let me prove it to you scripturally. Look at Ephesians 3, verse 17 through 21. Sister Lisa?
That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think, that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
Do you realize that promise that Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus 2,000 years ago is to us as much as it was to them? To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to who? All generations forever and ever. Amen. What is he able to do? What can you think? What is he able to do? What can you ask? This is a generation, and this is a time to be thinking God-sized promises, to be asking God-sized requests, to be believing for God-sized answers. This is so powerful. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Do you hear what he's just saying? To know what's not possible to know. I know I've shared that on this study before, but this blows me away. This is mind-boggling to me. That God, Paul wanted us to know as the church, that God is wanting us to know a love so deep, a love so powerful, a love so far-reaching, it's beyond our ability to know it, and yes, he wants us to know it. He wants us to be filled with all the fullness of God, all the fullness of God. Come on. When you're full of God, there's no room for anything else. The problem with most of us, we're too full of ourselves instead of full of him. Now, to him who is able, he's able to do exceeding abundantly beyond, above all that we can ask or think. According, however, here's the limitation. According to the power that works in us, that's active, that's alive in us. What a God. What a God. Quoting the Apostle Paul in another verse, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither entered into the heart of man, what God has prepared for those who love him. But then you read the next verse and he says, but we know it. We understand it. In other words, we see what we're not supposed to see. We understand what we're not supposed to understand. Why? We hear what humanly we could not hear, but we can because of this great God we serve. He is able. Vision. Function. Come on. Vision. Function. Structure. All of them equally important. Hey, let me make a suggestion to you. I'm going to send these notes to you when I'm done. Teach them to your local church. Let them understand who they are in Christ and what God wants to do through them. In Jesus' name. Why don't we just lift our hands and pray together? Father, by the authority of your word, we love you. We magnify your great name. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what you're going to do. Oh God, enable us to be the church you've called us to be the member that you've called us to be, regardless of what our gift may be. Oh God, help us to strive for spiritual health so that those gifts you've placed in us will function freely and clearly. God, to do what you've enabled us to be and do. We give you honor. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Before we close, I want to open it up. If anyone wants to share anything before we close, man, feel anything the Lord would have you share with the rest of us. We had a smaller group today, but obviously God wasn't affected by it. Anybody else? Anything at all? Thing. All right. Well, I won't, Brother Gayo, Pastor Gayo, I see you're unmuted. Do you have something?
Oh, I just want to thank you, Bishop for, this, privilege. And, can I invite, my co-leaders to join our Bible study?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Feel free to invite as many as you would like. Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Bishop. That's,
amen.
That's
and if necessary, if needed, I know Philippines, most everybody in the Philippines speaks English, but, if you have a translator, we could set somebody up to translate while I'm teaching. We have that ability to add translators. So we're already currently translating in Russian, Ukrainian, in German. So anyways.
Maybe Bishop, my companion in the leadership. So,
I'm sorry.
My co-leaders here in the Philippines.
Yes.
I think, they are, no. They are also interested with this kind of meetings and Bible studies.
Absolutely. Well, yes. They are welcome. Absolutely welcome.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Bishop.
Thank you, Pastor Gayo. Thank you. Anybody else before we close? All right. Well, you know I love you all. God bless you.
Thank you.
See you next time.
Всем благословения, Господня.